Much for joining. Today's daf is daf Kuf Yudalid. Fred, can you hear? Okay, good. Thank God. Okay, so today's daf is daf Kuf Yudalid. We begin with a continuation about the importance of Shabbos clothes. We learned yesterday that part of honoring Shabbos is to have special clothing for Shabbos. And if you can't afford special clothing for Shabbos, so then you should literally let your jacket down, let your clothes down further on Shabbos. Even though, you know, you think about someone wearing a fancy tuxedo, if he's in tails and up hat, it's a little bit fancier than if he's wearing a shorter jacket. You can use it. On Shabbos, that's okay. It doesn't look like arrogance because since everybody sees, you only do that during the week. And on the week, you have a rolled up jacket. On Shabbos, you have a longer jacket. It doesn't look like you're being arrogant and trying to pretend to be this, you know, very exalted person. On the contrary, you're honoring Shabbos the way Shabbos should be honored. So now we're going to talk some more about clothing. We're in the very bottom of Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. I'm Rav Acha bar Abba. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Acha bar Abba, sending Rabbi Yochanan. Minayin l'shinu b'ganu min haTorah. Where do we see in the Torah that changing your clothing to wear nicer clothes is a sign of showing respect? And therefore, since on Shabbos we're supposed to show respect, through changing our clothing, we are in fact showing respect. Shenemar, because the pasuk says about the Kohen Gadol, not the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen. The first service in the morning that the Kohen does is Shumas HaDeshen. The Kohen goes up in the morning, he wakes up early, he runs up to the top of the Mizbeach, and he takes off some of the ashes that are on the Mizbeach. He takes off some of the ashes. That's called Shumas HaDeshen. That's the first job that the Kohen does in the morning. And the Pasuk says, after he takes off the ashes and he drops them off on the side of the Mizbeach, Ufashatas Begadav, he takes off his clothing. V'lavash Begadim Achirim, and he should wear new clothes. So why does the Kohen have to change his clothes after he removes the ashes? Because apparently when you change your clothing, it's more respectful. Baruch, can we get you a Gemara? It's inside? I'll get it for you.
The big bet. Sorry. I forgot my doctor here.
Right here.
So again, the pasuk says, "Ufashet es begadav ulavish begadam achir." He'll take off his garments and wear other garments. Tanya Rabbi Yishmael was taught in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmael, "Limdecha Torah derech eretz." The Torah is teaching you what is the way of the world, what is respectful. The gadam shel bishben k'der l'rabo. Those clothing that were used for the cooking. Al yimzug bahen kos l'rabo. That should not be the clothing that's used to pour a cup for the master. The same clothes that the house attendant used to cook should not be the clothes that he uses to serve. So taking off the ashes of the mizbeach, that's akin, that's similar to cooking. It's not a very honorable service. It's necessary, but it's not so honorable. So that should be one set of clothing. But then for the clothing that you actually serve the king, you throw the pieces into the fire, that should already be a different set of clothing. So you see that the changing of clothing is a sign of added respect, of added honor. I'm Rabbi Chiya bar Abba and Rabbi Yochanan, talking about the importance of clothing. You know, there was a Musar Yeshiva called the Slabatka Musar Yeshiva. They loved this Gemara a great deal. They used to emphasize the importance of godless Adam, that a person has to feel that he's nobility. He's a descendant of Adam Arishon, especially if someone has the privilege of learning Hashem's Torah. He's real nobility. So this is a favorite Gemara of theirs. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba and Rav Yochanan, G'nai l'talmud chacham sheyetzik b'min alim ha'mutulayim l'shuk. It's a disgrace for a Torah scholar to walk out in public with shoes that have patches on them, with shoes that have holes. It's not right. He should wear good, new, strong shoes. He shouldn't have holy shoes. He shouldn't have shoes with holes in them. Ask the Gemara of Rav Acha bar Chanina Nafik. Rav Acha bar Chanina used to do that. I'm Rav Acha bar Rav Nachman. Rav Acha bar Rav Nachman said, when we said you shouldn't go out with shoes that have holes and patches on top of the holes, it means double levels of patches. Bitzloy al gabitzloy, a patch on top of a patch. one patch over one little hole is okay, but to have two patches, that's already a problem. And the idea is, because a Torah scholar has to look like nobility, and the way he presents himself also should be, he should be royalty. When I was in yeshiva, I was in yeshiva Chevron, which is a branch of Slobodka. It was originally the Slobodka yeshiva. The older guys had an obligation to wear a tie. So, and the guys who were 25 and up, they had to sit in the Beis Medrash not only with a white shirt, but also with a tie. Based on this type of thinking, that the greater the Talmud Chacham, the more he has to look like nobility. He has to look like a mensch. Okay, Amar Rab Chiya Bar Abba Rabbi Yochanan. Rab Chiya Bar Abba said even further in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Talmud Chacham Shenimtza Revav Al Bigdo. Any Torah scholar who's got a stain on his garment, Chayiv Misa, deserves death, because he's disgracing what it is to be a Talmud Chacham. It's a disgrace. A Talmud Chacham's got stains. That's not right. He's a Talmud Chacham. He needs to be dressed well. Shenamar, as the verse says, Kol Misanai Ahavu Mavis. All who hate me love death. Al Tikr Misanai, don't read it as those who hate me, Ela Masni'ai, those who make me hated. The Talmud Chacham has a special responsibility to make Torah and religion and God beloved. So if people see the Talmud Chacham and say, oh, he smells bad, he's dirty, I don't want to be part of that group, he's making God hated, and that deserves death. Ravina said, no, it's not referring to a stain of oily food. Rivad itmar, it's referring to a stain of semen, of seed. And that's not right, because that's sort of a display of lack of morality, lack of self-control. So that's where the Talmud Chacham deserves death. But if the Talmud Chacham is walking around with an oil stain on the shirt, it's not so bad. Hello, please. There's no argument. Habiglima. One is referring to the outer garment. In the outer garment, you can't have an oily stain. Habilavusha. The lesson of Ravina is referring to the inner garment. In the inner garment, even if you don't have an oily stain, even if it's just the stain of semen, that's already something deserving of death. Further in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, what's the lesson of the verse? Where the verse says, Kasher halach avdi Yeshayo arum v'yachef, that Hashem tells the prophet Yeshayo to walk around without sackcloth and to walk around without shoes as a sign that the Jews are going to be exiled. Is it really possible that Yeshayo walked around somewhat naked, somewhat without shoes for 3 years? Arum means with God in blue, naked is that the Navi Yeshayo is wearing worn-out clothing, v'yachef, and walking around barefoot means doing this wrong thing, wearing shoes that are filled with many patches. That's true, yeah. I remember once I had the privilege of buying a copy of Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik's book on the Rambam from his son, Rav Rafael Soloveitchik of blessed memory, and I went on Tisha B'Av to pick it up, and not only did he not wear shoes, he wouldn't even wear socks. He was totally barefoot. Not sneakers, not slippers, nothing. Just feet on the floor. That was what they were doing. Okay. On Tisha B'Av.
Yeah.
Wow, badge of honor to stand up for our Jewish practices. All right, Tznan Hassan, we have a Mishnah in regard to what is defined as a chatzitza. What is defined as a barrier? We know that when you go to the mikvah, the water has to be able to touch all the surfaces. You can't have an interposition. You can't have something in between the water and your hair or your skin. If you're going into the mikvah, or if you have a utensil going into the mikvah, you can't have a stain on the utensil. So we have a Mishnah in Meseches Mikvaos. Revav ala mardea. Let's say you have the saddle of a donkey that became tummy, and you have to put it into the mikvah. And there is a fat stain on the saddle. Chotzeitz, that is a chatzitza. If you put that into the mikveh with that on it, it wasn't a good immersion. Reb Shimon Gamliel, Omer, Reb Shimon Gamliel says, how big does it have to be? Ad ki isar haritalki. So long as it's as large as the Italian isar. That was one of the coins, the Italian isar. Now, the ala begadim, if you have an oily stain on clothing, so if it's mitzad echad, if you can only see it on one side of the garment, eino chotzeitz, it's not a chatzitza. If it's on both sides of the garments, chotzeitz, that is a chatzitza. Rabbi Yehuda says, name Rabbi Yishmael, af mitzad echad, even if it's only on one side of the garment, chotzeitz, it is a barrier. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish asked the question, Rabbi Chanina, this idea that if there's a stain, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Rabbi Yishmael, even on one side it's a barrier. This that we learned, Mar Da'as, that an oil stain on a saddle is a barrier. Mitzad Echad, is it also only on one side? Or Mishneitzad, more on both sides? Amalei Zetim Zulo Shamati. I don't know the answer, but Kayotze Bo Shamati. But I did hear a similar question. That's not related to Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi, Omer Rabbi Yossi says, Shel Banaim, when you deal with the garments of the Torah scholars, Mitzad Echad, even if the stain is on only one side, it's already a barrier. Vishel bur, but if you're dealing with the garments of ignorant people, mishneitz tadim, it has to be on both sides. So therefore, velotei mardas chashuv mibeged shel ha'aretz. You can't say that the saddle of a donkey is more prominent than the clothing of ignorant people. So if the clothing of ignorant people, the stain is only a barrier if it's on both sides, the type of stain that would be a barrier on the clothes, on the saddle, would also have to be on both sides. Okay, that resolves that question. Chotzeitz is that if you have this oil stain on the garment, and now you have to put the garment in the mikvah, is that considered a chatzitza, a barrier between the water and the garment? If they became tummy, they're in the same room as a dead body. No, no, he had other shoes. He wears it specially for the chalitza. Yeah. My banayim, why are the Torah scholars called builders? Am Rabbi Yochanan Eilu Tamid HaChachamim, Sha'oskim B'binyano Shal Olam Kol Yemeihem. These are the Torah scholars that are busy building the world every day of their life. So now we'll have a little bit of an aside. What is the definition of a Torah scholar? Who gets the title Torah scholar? So I certainly don't. No, you'll see in a second. I certainly don't get there. Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, Ezel Talmud Chacham Shemachzirin Lo Averda B'tvias Ayin. We learned in the Sechus Vav Metzia that normally you return a lost object if the original owner can identify it. But a Talmud Chacham, he doesn't need to give you a sign. If he says, I recognize it, that's already enough. If he says, I recognize it, that's also enough. So what's the level of Talmud Chacham that you return to him the lost object without a sign, just with his recognition? Answers the Gemara, Zeh makbid al chaluko lehofcho. This is a Talmud Chacham who's very careful that if his robe was overturned, he right away flips it back. He flips back his robe so that it should be worn nicely. He doesn't want the inside of the robe out because that would be disrespectful. So if he's careful about his appearance to the point that he turns the robe back, that means that he is a Talmud Chacham that you trust even by his recognition. Now the Gaon of Vilna has a different explanation of this Gemara. The Gaon of Vilna says that we know that character traits are called midot. They're called measures. Measures, it's similar to the word for a garment, a certain thing that you wear that fits you. So the Rambam tells us that if you have a certain character trait that you know is not so good, the way to deal with it is to go to the opposite extreme. So let's say I have a character trait, I'm lazy. I know I'm lazy, I delay, I don't deal with things. So the way to work on laziness is for 40 days to go to the opposite extreme. 40 days, anything that comes up, to jump and deal with it right away. And then, you know, I'm going to move back to the middle. So the Gra says, that's what this Gemara is saying. Who is a Talmud Chacham? Someone who can take his character and he can flip it. He can conquer his character. If he's lazy, he can go for 40 days of being industrious. If he's stingy, he can go for 40 days of being generous. So someone who can flip his character from one extreme to the next in order to fix himself, to get to the right way, that's a Talmud Chacham that you trust. When he tells you, oh, that's mine, yeah, it's his, even though he doesn't give you a sign to prove that it's his. Oh, we'll get to that soon. Well, this is a sign of that, right? If you have the self-control to control yourself, you're careful on your clothing, that's also a sign of a Talmud Chacham. Amar Rabbi Yochanan said further, who's the Torah scholar that you appoint him as a leader over the community? Somebody that you can ask him a question on any matter of halacha. So in other words, he has to know all of Shas, all of the Gemara, all 36 Masechtas, all 2,771 pages, all of the Mishnayot, and you can ask him anywhere and he can give you the answer. So if you go over to someone, you say, listen, I have a question on Maseches Yadayim, and he says, well, you know, I don't really know it. He's not a Talmud Chacham. To be a Talmud Chacham, it's got to be that everything is on his fingertips all the time. So it's not so easy. I don't know if the Mishnah Berurah says he doesn't know if anybody nowadays is a Talmud Chacham, because who can say that? They have it all on their fingertips. Rabbi Avadji Yosef, he had it on his fingertips all the time. But how many people out there have everything on their fingertips all the time? What's that? Right. It's not so... Google, that's an interesting question. Maybe Google should change it, right? Because now you can check with Google. It's true. Now you have the Bar Ilan CD also. You can check all the questions, right? Eli will get there. Bezrat Hashem. Amen. Amen. You see, the problem with Google or the Bar Ilan CD is, what do you do with Shabbos? Right? So you can't check it up on Shabbos. So you got to have that instant.
You can't
type
on the keyboard.
You need
to have respond. Right.
Right. You got to have the answers. And even, you know, a very esoteric Masechta. Masechas Kala has got to know that too. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said further, Ezel Talmud Chacham Shebnei Iro Metzuvin Lasos Lo Malachto. Who's the Talmud Chacham that the people of the city have to do his work for him? In other words, they have to give him food to enable him to learn the Kolel. Zeh Shemaniyah Chefzo V'Osik B'Chefzei Shemayim. Someone who leaves his own matters and he's just busy with God's matters. That's only true in terms of giving him bread. I mean, you don't have to do other things for him. You have to make sure he eats. You have to make sure he has food. But you don't have to do other things for him. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, Ezeu Talmud Chacham. What's a Talmud Chacham? Because Rosh Hashanah also halacha b'chol makom v'omra. That if you ask him halacha anywhere, he can tell you the answer. L'may nafkamina. What's that in reference to? L'menuye parnas al tzibur. Again, to appoint him as a leader over the community. Now, we just mentioned this. Why do I have to say it a second time? The answer is like this. If in one tractate he knows it very, very well. In other words, he's learning Masechet Shabbos right now. He knows Shabbos inside out. You could ask him anything about Shabbos. Then Ba'asre. Then you can make him the leader of his place. But if you could ask him about every single Masechta, everywhere, and he knows to answer it all the time, then Beresh Masifta, then you make him the head of the yeshiva. Then you make him the teacher to train the next generation of Torah scholars. Okay. So that completes the discussion of Talmid HaChachamim. Now we go further. For sure. The Gra says that you see that in the word, Talmid Chacham, the student of the sage. He's not the sage himself. He's a student of the sage. That's what the Gra says. But even so, you see that to be a leader, you know, to be a real Talmid Chacham, has to know a lot. Okay, so going back to what we said earlier, we spoke about different types of stains, and we said that, according to Rabbi Yossi, in the garment of the Bana'in, which we interpreted as the Torah scholars, even an oil stain on only one side is a barrier, it is a chatzitza. So we said, what are Bana'in? We said our Torah scholars, because they're busy building up the world. Rabbi Shimon Malakish said, what is the Bana'im? These are Elu Kelim Ha'alurian. These are the garments of the bathhouse attendants. Habayim Mimdina Sayam, that come from a foreign land. So since they're expensive, and they were very careful about these garments, I think these like robes for the people who go to the bathhouse, very expensive robes. So since they're very careful about these garments, if there's a little bit of a stain on these garments, that would already be considered a barrier. So right now says, "Remember the chibrininu? Are you telling me that these garments are white?" V'amalu Rabbiani lebana. But didn't Rabbiani tell his children, "Banai, my children, al tikbruni lo bekelim levanim, lo bekelim shchorim. Don't bury me in white garments, nor in black garments. Levanim, not in white garments. Shemelo eska. Maybe when I get to the next world, I won't merit, and being wearing white garments will be actually embarrassing. Because I'm going to be dressed like a groom wearing white garments amongst all the mourners who are wearing black garments. Don't bury me in black garments. Maybe I will merit. Then I'm going to be like a mourner amongst all the grooms. But rather bury me with these, you know, fancy garments, these fancy robes. I sort of think of it like a kimono, you know, like these fancy robes that they come from other places. You see that they're red. So why did you say that they're white? Somebody says, Lokash, it's not a contradiction. Habiglima, in other words, the outer robe is red. Habilavusha, the lower robe, that's already white. And therefore, if there's a stain on one side, according to Rish Lakish, it is a barrier and you can't tovel it in the mikvah anymore. All right, now going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah taught us yesterday that we're not allowed to fold clothing on Shabbos from Shabbos for Matzoy Shabbos. So let's say you took a nap on Shabbos afternoon and you wore your pajamas. Now you take off your pajamas to put on your Shabbos clothing. You can't fold up the pajamas and put it nicely underneath the pillow for the night, because then you're preparing from Shabbos for the week. And you can't prepare from Shabbos for the week. But then we said, Rabbi Shmuel says, you can fold clothing if Yom Kippur is on Friday. You can fold the clothing on Yom Kippur in order for the next day being Shabbos, because you're going from a lower holiness, Yom Kippur, to a higher holiness, to Shabbos. But you couldn't do the other way. You couldn't fold on Shabbos for Yom Kippur. That's what we said. And then same thing would be in terms of karbanos. You could offer the fat of a karban of Shabbos that you didn't get a chance to throw it into the fire. You can throw it into the fire on Yom Kippur, but you couldn't offer the fat of the carbon of Yom Kippur onto the fire on Shabbos. All right, Tanur Rabbanu Hilchos Braisa, it says in Parshas Pinchas, Olas Shabbos b'Shabbato, the offering of Shabbos on its Shabbos. Limid al Chelve Shabbos. So that teaches you, right? There was an extra word there. It could have said Ola Shabbos Bishabbos. Why did it say Bishabbato on its Shabbos? That extra vav is to say, even on the Shabbos Shabbos, and even on Yom Kippur, you can offer the Ola of Shabbos. Limit al Chelve Shabbos Shakrim Yom Kippur. Yachol Av Shdi Yom Kippur Bishabbos. Maybe the fats of the Yom Kippur carbon can also be offered on Shabbos. Tamlom Bishabbato. That's what it says on its Shabbos, but not the fats of Yom Kippur on Shabbos. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Kiva says, no, Ola Shabbos b'Shabbato, the Ola of Shabbos on its Shabbos. Limit al Cheve Shabbos, Shekrim v'Yom Tov. That's to say that the fats of Shabbos can be brought on Yom Tov. Yachol Af B'Yom HaKippur. Maybe you could bring the fats of a Shabbos carbon on Yom Kippur. Tamalom b'Shabbato. That's what it says b'Shabbato, to say no, it cannot be brought on Yom Kippur. Now, Keshetim Salomar, when you think about this deeply, you'll figure out like this. The Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi Shmuel, Nidarim u'nidav was kriven b'yom tov. Rabbi Shmuel holds that if you made a promise to bring a karban ola or a karban shlamim during the year, you can go bring them on Yom Tov. So if you can bring the, basically what is karbanos of the week on Yom Tov, so certainly the fats of a Shabbos karban you could burn on Yom Tov. So therefore, v'chiyat tukra, what do I need a pasuk for? It's not to tell me I can burn the fats of a Shabbos carbon on Yom Tov. It's Yom HaKippurim. It's to tell me I can burn the fats of a Shabbos carbon on Yom Kippur. But the difference is Rabbi Akiva, but according to Rabbi Akiva, and Nedarim and Nedavos, ain't kriven b'Yom Tov. And now let it bring the Nedarim and the Nedavos that you had promised to bring them during the week on Yom Tov. Therefore, v'chiyat tukra, so what do I need a pasuk for? To say I can bring certain Shabbos things, even though it's not on Shabbos, It's to say, be Yom Tov, I can bring it on Yom Tov, but not that I can bring it on Yom Kippur. Now we know that on Friday, right before Shabbos, they used to blow in the Beit HaMikdash blasts of the shofar, of the trumpet. And that was to remind everybody to stop doing malacha. That's why in certain Jewish neighborhoods, like in Lakewood, in Borough Park, in Yerushalayim, in Bnei Brak, right before candle lighting time, there's a siren or there's music that goes off on speakers to remind everybody Shabbos is coming and don't do malacha. So now, Amr Reb Zeira said, turning to Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, when I was learning Torah in Bavel, Hava Amri, I used to say, this one's in a brisa, Yom Kippur Shachalios Erev Shabbos. If Yom Kippur is on that Friday, lo hayu tokin, they wouldn't blow. Why? Because the whole purpose of blowing is to say, hey, everybody stop doing the malacha. Shabbos is coming. But Yom Kippur, anyway, you can't do malacha. It's Yom Kippur. So there's no need to blow. V'motzoi Shabbos. And if Yom Kippur is on Sunday, right after Shabbos, Ohayim Avdilim, you wouldn't make Avdallah on Shabbos, because you can't eat on Yom Kippur. So you make Avdallah on Matzah Yom Kippur, not on Shabbos. But now we've made the calendar. This is before we had a calendar. When they used to make... Yeah. Yeah, because it was based on what the witnesses saw. If they saw the new moon, then that would be the Rosh Chodesh, and wherever it would end up, yeah. Now it doesn't. That's correct. But that, then they used to, when they didn't have a set calendar. So I used to think, everybody agrees to it. Once I went to the land of Israel, I met Yehuda, the son of Reb Shimon Pasi, Yosef Akam, and he was sitting and saying, Rabbi Akiva, this is only the view of Rabbi Akiva. It's only the view of Rabbi Akiva, who holds that the fats of a carbon of Shabbos you can't bring on Yom Kippur, so that Yom Kippur also has a holiness. However, since he says that the fats of the Shabbos carbonos that weren't brought, you can bring on Yom Kippur, litka. So then you should be blowing shofar when Yom Kippur is on Friday. The people should know that next year, if Yom Kippur is going to be on Sunday, we'll be able to offer the karbanos. In other words, they should know we're going from a lesser holiness to a higher holiness. That way next year, if we go from a higher holiness to a lesser holiness, we'll offer the fats of Shabbos karbanos on Yom Kippur. You should be blowing shofar on Friday, which is Yom Kippur, to say, oh, but now Shabbos is coming, to show a higher holiness is coming. So that you'd know that there's a difference in holiness. And if you know there's a difference in holiness, you'll know a halacha that if need be, if you weren't able to offer the fats of Shabbos on Shabbos, you'd offer the fats of a Shabbos korban on Yom Kippur. So that's what I thought. Amina le'ana. But then I said, who said this? This was Reb Zeira. What Reb Zeira said. When I was in Bible, I thought this way. So when I got to Eretz Yisrael, I met Yehuda, who told me the other way. And I told him, no. Kohanim's reason heim. When is it necessary to blow shofar on a Friday to say Shabbos is coming, don't do malacha, now a holier day is coming? That's for regular people. But for the Kohanim, you don't need to blow shofar. Kohanim are always very careful with all halachos. They don't need to tell the Kohanim, oh, Yom Kippur is ending and Shabbos is starting, a higher holiness is starting. They're very careful anyway. Amalei Mark Shisha Beid Rav Chizla Rav Ashi, Mark Shisha, the son of Rav Chizla, said to Rav Ashi, Mi Amina Kohanim Zizim Him. Do we say that? Do we say that we don't need to tell the Kohanim about the higher levels of holiness coming? But didn't we learn in Masechta Sukkah, Shlosha Lahatla Sa'ami Malacha? Three of the blasts in the Beis HaMikdash were to tell the people, stop doing Malacha. V'shalosh Lahatla Ben Kodesh L'chol. But three are to tell you, now the holy day is coming, and there should be a distinction between the holy and the secular. Like Abayi said, L'shar Amad B'Yushalayim. There are certain things in the Beis HaMikdash that are done for the people of Jerusalem. For example, over the front of the Beis HaMikdash, there was a special golden ornament, Shushar Abira, that was put on the front of the Beis HaMikdash so that when the sun would hit it, they would know when was Sof Zman Kriyat Shema. But that's not for the people of the Beis HaMikdash. That's for the people of Yerushalayim. So the same thing over here, the blowing of the shofar is for the people of Yerushalayim. Achanami l'shar amad Yerushalayim. It's for the people of Yerushalayim. So Gemara now asks, the litka, and still you should be blowing. Ki eicha the lady, the shari b'knivas yarek min amincha l'mal. You should be blowing when Yom Kippur is on a Friday. You should be blowing to show that Yom Shabbos is coming. Why? Because there's a difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, you're allowed to cut the sides of a vegetable off because it makes people upset because they're hungry and they can't eat it. And that's part of the theme of Yinisim es nafsho seichem. But on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do it. Shabbos, you're not allowed to do that. So it's important to say this is Yom Kippur, one level of holiness, and now another level of holiness is coming. Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, "Lefish ein dochen shvus lahatir." Blowing shofar on Shabbos and on Yom Kippur is a rabbinic prohibition. So we're not going to violate a rabbinic prohibition to tell somebody, by the way, there's going to be some leniency coming. You tell somebody there's a rabbinic prohibition, there's a stringency coming, but not a leniency coming. Rav Shesha Bei Davidi Amar. Rav Shesha, the son of Ravidi, gave another answer. Shvus krova lahatir. Right? If you'd be going from Shabbos to Yom Kippur, then there'd be something to talk about. Because on Shabbos, you're not allowed to cut off the sides of the vegetable. And on Yom Kippur, you are. But here we're talking about going from Yom Kippur to Shabbos. We should blow shofar when the Yom Kippur is on a Friday. Why? So that to tell me that next year, when Yom Kippur is going to be on Sunday, I'm going to be allowed on Yom Kippur to cut the sides of the vegetable? That's next year. To tell you a message about next year, it's not. We're not going to do shvus rechok lo itiru. So the Gemara says shvus krova itiru. Did they allow you only to blow shofar to tell you about things that are going to be leniencies right now? But now didn't we learn in the Mishnah Yom Tov shechal liyos erev Shabbos? If Yom Tov is on a Friday, token you'd blow shofar. Why to say? And on Yom Tov you were able to cook, and on Shabbos you can't. But after that Yom Tov, you don't make Havdalah. However, if Yom Tov is on Sunday and Matzoy Shabbos Mavdilin, you make Havdalah from Shabbos to Yom Tov. You say, Ben Kamavdom and Kodesh to Kodesh. Lo token, you don't blow shofar. Vamai, and why don't you? Litko, you should be blowing shofar. Ki hech delayed the shari b'shchitul altar to tell people that now, after Shabbos, you'll be able to shecht. El machvachikit Rav Yosef. Again, it's a proof to the idea of Rav Yosef. We don't blow on Yom Tov to inform people of a leniency, even if that leniency is applicable right away. Am Reb Zera, Am Rav Huna. Reb Zera said the name of Rav Huna. Amila, Am Reb Abba, Am Rav Huna. Some say it's Reb Abba said the name of Rav Huna. When we said that you're allowed to peel the vegetables on Yom Kippur, but on Yom Kippur, Shechalios b'Shabbos, Asa b'Knivas Yarek. When Yom Kippur is on Shabbos, you wouldn't be allowed to peel the vegetables because that would be a hachana. That would be preparing from Shabbos to the day of the week. Amar Rav Mana. Rav Mana said, Tanu, hinted a b'raisa, minayim Yom Kippur, Shechalios b'Shabbos. How do we know that if Yom Kippur is on a Shabbos, Asa b'Knivas Yarek, then you're not allowed to peel the vegetables? Because the verse says, Shabbason, Shabbos Kodesh. The extra word, Shabbason, teaches you the following. Shvos, you should stop. Stop from certain things, even from peeling the vegetables. The mind. Now, what does it mean to stop from what? Ilim lo malacha, not to do malacha. Aksiv lo sa'asaka malacha. We have another pasuk that says, don't do any work. Elav aknivas yarek, even in terms of peeling a vegetable. Even though it's not a malacha, you're not supposed to do it because it's too much effort. It's too much effort to clean up the leafy vegetables and peel them all off on Shabbos, and you're not allowed to do that. Now, if Yom Kippurim, since Yom Kippur talks about Shvisa, doesn't talk about Malacha, talks about Shvisa, this applies to Yom Kippur too. Shema Mina, that when you have a Yom Kippur on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do it. Am Reb Chiya bar Abba Reb Yochanan, Reb Chiya bar Abba Sinim Reb Yochanan, Yom Kippurim Shechalios b'Shabbos, he disagrees. He holds that if Yom Kippur is on Shabbos, Mutar b'knivas yarek, you're allowed to peel the leaves all of the vegetables. Because apparently he holds it's to teach you something else. It's not to teach you that you can't have tircha on Shabbos. It's just to say that when you violate Shabbos, there's an los aseh plus an aseh. And so it doesn't apply to this. Meisve, they challenge Rabbi Yochanan. We learned in a brayso. I mean, I know that Yom Kippur I know that when Yom Kippur is on Shabbos, Shasa b'knivas yerek, you're not allowed to peel the leaves off the vegetables. Tamalomer from the verse Shabbos on Shavos. Now, Ilay Malay Malachi, we're talking about a real Malacha here. Let's say the vegetables attached to the ground. You can't detach it from the ground. I don't need the pasuk of Shabbos and Shavos. I have another pasuk. Don't do any Malacha. We're talking about peeling off a vegetable that's already detached from the ground. So you see that it's not allowed. The Gemara says, Lo'olam l'malacha. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's referring to a regular Malacha, pulling the vegetable out of the ground. And to say that not only is there a prohibition, there's also a mitzvah saseh to tell you not to do it. But on Yom Kippur, you would be allowed to do it. If Yom Kippur is on a Shabbos, you'd be allowed to do it. Like Rabbi Yochanan, though, Yom Kippur Shechalios b'Shabbos, when Yom Kippur is on a Shabbos, then Mutter b'Knivas Yerek, you're allowed to peel the leaves off of the vegetables. Okay. Mefatzen be'gozim, you're allowed on Yom Kippur to break open the walnuts. Umefartasim b'rimonim, you're allowed to peel the pomegranates. Minamin cholamala, you have to do it in the afternoon of Yom Kippur, after 3:30. Why are you allowed to do it? Are you preparing for chol? The answer is, right, it's inui nefesh, it's the theme of Yom Kippur. The theme of Yom Kippur is v'ini tembet nafshot teichem, you should afflict yourselves. This is, in fact, afflicting of oneself. Mipnei agmas nefesh. In the house of Rabbi Yehuda, they used to cut up the leaves of the cabbage on Yom Kippur to prepare for eating it. Today, Rabba, in the house of Rabba, Gardi Kari, they used to cut up the butternut squash. Came in the chazal the kavu kamacharfi. So once Rabba saw that the people were now getting so excited, they were cutting up the food already in the afternoon. Not the late afternoon, early afternoon. They were getting excited. They were doing it earlier. So Emily said in a note, a letter came from Yochanan who says you're not allowed to do this on Yom Kippur, because even though Rabbi Yochanan never said that, but he did say that because he didn't want people to keep doing this, and he knew if he would just tell them, I think you shouldn't do this so early, they wouldn't listen. So he said, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, you can't be preparing the food for Motzai Yom Kippur on Yom Kippur. Hajjan Allah, Bez Hashem Yishbarach, Ve'el Sharim, Ve'Hajjan.